given the free will, because every one of us know, and we've said it many times, that we ourselves are independent thinkers. You get individual and you said they're hard-headed. Well, they're independent thinkers. Because the reason you call them hard-headed is because they don't want to think like you want them to think. So independence is exactly what God has given us. Now, road number one is the most traveled road. It is broad, it's popular, and crowded, but it leads to total destruction. Now, what I've done on Matthew 7, verse 13, what I'm going to bring out to you is the second part of verse 13. For it's talking about as Jesus, and I'll read you the whole thing in a moment, but as Jesus is talking about, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Again, when Jesus is talking, and anytime you listen to him talk about the gate, he is talking to a Hebrew nation, and he's talking with people who understand sheep herding. And the shepherds, everybody knows it. They might not be a shepherd, but they know what he's talking about. He's talking about, remember, you've got the wall back here that's just put up a stone when they bring the sheep in at night and on the side. And then it comes, and there's an opening left there. And in that opening is exactly where the shepherd would sleep. The shepherd is the gate. There was no metal gates. There were no wooden gates, nothing. The gate was always a person. So what we find out when Jesus is making this statement, he says, wide is the gate and broad is the road. Now, the gate was exactly what fit a human being. When they widened the gate, that human being that would go to sleep would not be able to catch that the wolves were coming in before. Anything could sneak in around them. So think of this. Jesus is saying the gate is wide, meaning that you're going to travel it, and it is the most traveled and most popular that you will travel on, and it's going to be crowded. As many people are going to get through it as they possibly can. That leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Jesus is saying, okay, here's the gate I'm talking about here is the gate to the world. And if the gate is wide, anything in the world can come through it. And you're going to find destruction on that road. So Jesus says, I don't want you to choose that road, but it's the most popular, and I want to give you a warning that there's no watchman on. Now, remember again, the watchman in Scripture, when you see, well, he's the watchman was not the individual stood up there with his binoculars or sheep eyes, whatever they had, you know, to look for the enemy. The watchman, that's not what their purpose was. The watchman was to know that the enemy was coming before the enemy ever left camp. He wasn't watching and said, oh, here they come. The watchman of God knew that they were coming before they even knew. The enemy knew that they were coming, meaning they were still in camp. That's the type of watchman that God said, here's what I want you to be as Christians. I want you to be the type of watchman for me that you can be at the gate. I want you to be the type of watching for me that will study what I tell you, study my word, so that you will be prepared and you can expect this to happen to you. And preachers are to be the watchman that, thus saith the Lord thy God, this is going to happen when you do this. It hasn't happened yet. I don't see it coming, but I know that it's there. So that's what we do. That's the watchman. So now, The road that is so popular and so crowded is the road that leads to destruction. Now, I don't want to deal with that anymore because our main focus for this study is on road number two, the road less traveled. And we're going to look at why is the road less traveled. Why do so many choose the most travel road, the most popular road, the road that leads to actual destruction, and we know it at the time we travel down that road. How many times in our own individual lives have we known that we didn't have any business doing what we were getting ready to do, and yet we went ahead and did it anyway? Because we choose that path. Okay. The road less traveled. It is small, narrow, unpopular, with very few people traveling on it, but it leads to everlasting life. Now, the gate's narrow. Now, let me read this. Matthew 7, verse 13. Now, I'm going to start with the first part again on that, verse 13a. Enter through the narrow gate. And you look up on 13b up there. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Now, back to the narrow gate. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, here's what I don't want you to mess up on this one. When we're talking about narrow the gate, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The narrow part of that gate is Jesus. Meaning, you can't have other saviors for your gate. You cannot say, okay, well, there's room enough here for Jesus. There's room enough for Muhammad. There's room enough here for Buddha. That no, it's a narrow gate, meaning it's only the gate that the sheep herders would have known that he was talking about for one shepherd. Folks, there's only one shepherd. Even I, as a pastor, I'm the under-shepherd to Jesus Christ. You all be surprised, and I think I've told you all this before, that brings more people condemning me for making that statement, that I am the under-shepherd to Jesus Christ. I believe within my heart, when God called me to preach, Jesus did not say, okay, Larry, this is your flock. He didn't say that to Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. It's my flock. It's Jesus' flock. So therefore, I represent the under-shepherd. The shepherd is Jesus. I'm the one that Jesus has called. Watch over the flock, and I'll send them to you. Now, that's a blessing from God. Entering through the narrow gate, it is small, narrow the road, leads to life, meaning, folks, no other doctrine do you have a right to bring into your vocabulary to use it as worship. Only the doctrine of Jesus Christ. All of this other stuff and all of the people that are now playing with that in the Baptist churches and the Christian churches, be careful. Because when you play with fire, it's sort of like dancing with the devil. You're going to get burned. Here's what we find on the road less traveled that seems to make it so unpopular. Now, here's the reason it's unpopular. You ready? Number one, the less traveled road requires a greater focus on integrity. Now, let's look at the word integrity. Integrity means solid. Integrity means that there is no variance. Meaning you're solid in your relationship, you're solid in your thought, you're solid in your belief structure, you're solid in your worship. Meaning that your integrity is strong. Okay, Psalm 26 verses 9 through 12. Do not gather my soul with sinners. Boy, David, you know, for a guy that was such a renegade, he loved the Lord. Didn't he? I mean, you think of that. And God looked at him and, you know, all, you know, a little scoundrel, even from his teenage years, rough as a cob. And what do we hear? He's a man after my own heart, says God. David's a man after God's own heart. Now, listen to him. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Man after God's own heart. Got it? Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. Woo! Think of that. Now, why did I pick that as the reason for it being a less traveled road? Integrity is a gift that God gives us. But the integrity does not become a part of you until you totally accept the gift of integrity. See, Jesus is the personality of my integrity and yours. It is Jesus. If I try to say, well, I'm solid in my multiple views, then I have just told you that I'm not solid. Because narrow is the road. Narrow is the gate. So therefore, I must solidify my integrity through Christ, not through me. You and I are rebels. We're renegades in our life. You know how I know that? Because there's none righteous, no, not one. God said, I now know that man's heart is evil continually. So that means we're all in the same sheep pen. It takes one to know. That's right. Well, think of this. Did we not have to confess our sins to accept Christ? That we admit that we are lost, that we admit that we're sinners? Did we not have to do that? And in doing that, there's integrity. Okay, then let me use this other word that you'll hear thrown around all the time about hypocrisy. Well, preachers are just hypocrites. And I say, you're absolutely right. You mean you're a hypocrite? I said, sure. From your stand of hypocrisy, hypocrisy is an individual that says, okay, you should do this. And then that individual doesn't do it. Well, my goodness, people. Oh, when I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I, as a human being, cannot keep the law of God. Therefore, do I not tell people, don't do this? Do we not tell our children, don't you do this, that, or the other because it is bad? Don't you do that? Well, one of the greatest lesson we got from our own life was that we did it and we don't want our kids to do it. Is that in itself not hypocrisy from the human standpoint? So when they talk about that, I say, sure. Only thing you just need to do, come on, you can join our church. It's full of hypocrites, just like you said, and you'll just be one more. Well, that's the truth about life. I am not required by God, and I should never, because it is really a big don't do with God. You never put yourself as a pastor or teacher or anyone else as a Christian above anyone else. In order for us to lead the lost, they must hear from an individual that once was lost but now is found. That individual that knows life. And listen, the best minister that you will have in your life is from an individual that not only lived in hell, but acted like it. An individual that was there and knows what salvation is about. Knows that. Remember the guy I told you with that skin disease in jail, in prison that time? I came forward and he started weeping, and I thought it was because I knew he'd accepted Christ, but he's a horrible looking guy, skin disorder and all of this. But he was crying because all the other inmates that were Christians came down, hugged him, put their hand on him, prayed with him and for him. And his statement was, Chaplain Vance, I don't ever remember anybody ever hugging me. Because the skin disorder made him smell also. He just, there wasn't anything about him that would make anybody go to him. And he says, I come to prison, find Jesus, and a bunch of criminals coming up and hugging me. So, as we're looking at our own life, let's remember, we can get a little bit too cocky with, well, you need to come to our church because we are just perfect. And you'd be surprised how many people will let you know that too. Okay, number two, the less traveled road, it's the reason that it's unpopular. The less traveled road requires a greater focus on the spirit than on the flesh. Well, now, where's the fun in that? Think about it. And the thinking is the greatest problem that any Christian has is the old nature problem. That's why I have problem with certain Christian denominations that say that once you're saved, you're never sin again. And the because it goes completely against what I believe that Jesus has said. He said, why would he warn us to be careful because the devil lurks about to consume or destroy anyone that he may? Why would he tell us that if we weren't going to be easy prey for Satan? He's talking to his own people. Be careful. Satan's out there seeking to devour whom he may. So that means then that Satan can devour me, but the only way now that I know that it can do it is through the old nature. It is the old nature always that trips us up. Satan will tempt you with the old nature. He can't tempt you with the new because he can't get to you. Okay. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. That's the universal law of the living God. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Therefore, if I worship me or worship human being more than I worship through my spirit. See, you and I need to understand that when we worship, we got to get out of this brain stuff. We got to get out of thanking God. Meaning thanking, you know, okay, I've got him in my mind. I know all this scripture. I know all of this. Well, Satan knows more scripture than you know. And he knows more about your weaknesses than you will ever know. God said, I want you to get in the Spirit, for in the Spirit is where we're protected. That's the road that so many people don't want to get on as Christians, simply because the flesh, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Anybody know who said that and when he said it? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane that night. Now you think about that one. That's Jesus making the statement. What had he just done? He went over and he said, boys, couldn't you stay awake just for a little bit longer with me? And then, and see, here's something you need to think on. Was Jesus, when he made that statement, not only talking about the disciples falling to sleep, but talking about the spiritual power that he had to come up with to fight the flesh? Jesus was 100% human. That'll be part of the teaching on the Sunday night things, that letting you know the humanity of Jesus. But he was 100% human, and he's the one that made that statement. So therefore, well, okay, think of it this way. Everything that Jesus taught, did he not get tempted by? Does the scripture not tell us that Jesus was tempted in like manner as any of us for everything that you can imagine, yet he did not sin? So that would be a time that you would understand that the flesh, then he was battling the flesh. Listen, he knew exactly what was getting ready to happen, but he had to make that step over. He had to do that. Okay. And the third one is the less traveled road requires a greater focus on the good than on the bad. Oh my goodness, if I got to stick with the good, I can't even gossip. I mean, what good is knowing all the bad stuff if you can't tell everybody? And now you got to tell me on the good stuff. Nobody wants to hear about the good. They want to hear about the bad. So Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Gosh. But what happens? Did you know what John did the other day?
Yeah.
And just think about that. What do people do? When somebody is looking at someone else, they are quick to find the fault. And they're quick to tell the faults unless they're confronted by somebody that says, what seemed like I remember you were locked up down there one time and I had to come get you out. And I don't remember you being treated like you're trying to treat him. That will make a pastor mad when you say that. But sometimes you bring it home.
People like to bring or look at the... Well, I heard this the other day. A man could lead 100,000 souls to Christ, but he sinned in public one time, and that's what he's remembered for.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, let me tell you how to make up for all of this. One of the greatest things that you... And I want you to remember this. My past will never be remembered. What people will remember you for is how you died. Now, while you're walking in the flesh, I remember him. I heard so much stuff on me, I had no idea who this talking about. Out of that restaurant, J.J. Newberry's. Remember that, girls? Yeah. I had to walk around and see who they was talking about. It was me. And I had no idea who they were. And it's talking about me as if I were big buddies. Anyway, think of it this way. It's when I leave this world, I want you to think about this too. When you leave this world, you will have had the opportunity to, as a Christian given to us by God, to leave this world glorifying God. And one of the greatest lessons we have to be positive in that is our past. I don't want to leave this world the way my actions were in the jungles of Vietnam. You know, I wasn't a human being there. My actions weren't human either. And that's what war does, and all of us know that. I don't want that. So God says, okay. But I never thought by any stretch of the imagination that I'd leave this world preaching. But I will. And that's a gift from God. So folks, the road less traveled is the road that you and I must be on to glorify God. Get away from the foolishness of the flesh, because it only lasts for a little bit. If you don't believe me, we'll go over here to a cemetery. We'll dig somebody up, let you look at them. Maybe we ought not do that. But you get the point, don't you? Huh? Yeah, it is. And remember that all of us can remember this. The first time in battle that I was going over a hill at Vietnam, I smelt death. And I'd never seen it yet, but I knew what it was. I knew there were people dead on the other side of that ridge. And I had never, ever at that point in my life had ever witnessed the death.
You said something about that is going through my mind, about not thinking you're above people.
Yes.
I started a book today called Snobbery.
Snobbery. That's good.
And, I don't know.
know whether I'm going to finish it or not. But anyway, it's pretty interesting, except it was written by a Jewish person.
Person, yeah.
So I don't know whether it was funny, but I found anything funny yet.
That's because it's written by a Jewish fellow. Different type of but you remember when I did that thing on humor of scripture and the humor, like Jesus, it was a joke when Jesus said easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. Well, that was a joke. But see, that doesn't make it, that was joking for that culture and everything. Now, he said a lot of jokes. And in every joke, there was a purpose, too.